Last week, witnesses began taking the stand to testify against Jerry Sandusky. Sandusky's the former Penn State football coach who now faces 51 counts related to child sexual abuse. Not surprisingly, a lot of that testimony was very difficult to listen to, and not just for its content, as each witness repeated descriptions of overseen encounters, overheard conversations. The unanswered question lingered in the courtroom. Why didn't any of these witnesses report what they saw or heard? Or if they reported it, why didn't they follow up? Max Bazerman is a business ethicist at Harvard and co-author, along with Ann Tenbrunsel, of Blind Spots, Why We Fail to Do What's Right and What to Do About It. Max, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be on your show.
And Mindy Mitnick is a licensed psychologist with decades of experience working with both witnesses and the victims of abuse. Mindy, glad to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, this isn't just a discussion, Mindy, about Sandusky. A very recent study of the statistics shows bystanders are present in almost 30% of sexual assaults. Why do people stand by?
I think it's so hard to realize, first of all, what's happening, and then to overcome our own denial and say to yourself, I have to do something about this. It's horrifying. It's confusing. It's just hard to take in. And then we stop and we think, what's going to happen if I report? Am I going to be investigated as part of the investigation? Am I going to be believed? And so I think people really hesitate before doing something.
What is the, I mean, to watch this whole cavalcade of people saying basically the same thing. I saw something that made me uncomfortable. I was doubtful about Sandusky's explanation. I didn't say anything about it. And, you know, when I looked it up, in fact, there's an inverse relationship between the offer of help and the number of people present. In other words, the larger the crowd, the larger number of people who witness something, the less likely someone will offer help. What is that?
I think sometimes there's a sense of shared responsibility. Surely someone who knows something will do something about this. Somebody who's seen it will be the one to report. I don't need to be that person who stands up for the child and tries to do something about it. It really can be horrific to take in the information about what's happened to a child. And so having the sense that really somebody else will take care of this is something that's easier for all of us to do.
Well, Max Bazerman, you're a business ethicist. How does what Mindy's talking about there, she's talking about mental and emotional processes, how does that change, if it does, in the office, in business?
So I think what we're seeing at Penn State is symptomatic of a broader set of problems where people are dramatically slow to notice that there's unethical conduct around them and to go forward and to report that. We see that in the very recent Jamie Dimon episode in terms of traders trading beyond their authority. We see that in terms of the Madoff scandal where lots of people had access to the data. And we see that in ongoing work settings where people see harassment or bullying behavior and don't act on that information. We also know that we read the story and think, but we would act differently. Yet research is pretty clear in showing us that people have a dramatic overestimate of their propensity to actually act on an unethical behavior. So what we're seeing here is part of a more broad problem. Far, far too many of us see unethical action, and we stand by. There's ambiguity. We don't want to incur the costs of making a claim. There's some chance that we're wrong and we're misunderstanding what's going on. And as a result, we remain quiet when action is the appropriate course of action.
Mindy, I have to assume that what Max is talking about there is actually exacerbated if it's the case of if the person who's perhaps the perpetrator is a respected community member, is somebody that you like. Does that make it even less likely that someone's going to offer help?
It does. The notion that somebody we like, in the case of a family member, somebody we love, in the case of a community person, somebody who's well-respected, well thought of, it makes the hurdle for reporting even higher because we stop and think about, well, what are going to be the consequences of reporting? It disrupts the family. It can disrupt the community. There really is the risk that the person who comes forward is not going to be believed, is not going to be supported by other people in the community. And so the tendency is really to stop and stand back and wonder whether or not a person should do something.
But how does one overcome that, Mindy? I mean, we've had some horrifying examples. For instance, the two-year-old little girl that got struck by a van in China and something like 18 people passed by without helping her. If something is happening to people psychologically in which they don't offer help, either they don't notice it, as Max mentioned, they don't recognize it as an emergency, or they don't accept responsibility, then how does one overcome all of those things?
I think it's hard because there are times when people report and communities sort of marshal around the perpetrator and against the reporter. I think we have to do a much better job of educating people about the importance, in the case of children, of stepping forward and protecting them, of listening, of believing, even when it's hard. And I think we need to do that in the community. We need to do that in schools. We need to do that with doctors, because we have research that shows that even mandatory reporters, people who are required by law to report suspected child abuse, sometimes don't come forward.
Yeah, and without commenting on Sandusky's case, because at this point the trial is ongoing and he's an innocent man, Max, I'm sure that Penn State, which is now facing at least one civil suit, probably many more, has a vested interest in trying to make sure that people report in the future. Wouldn't you say so?
I think all organizations have a desire to run a more ethical organization. But too often we fail to take the steps to actually make our organizations as ethical as we would like. We don't make it clear that it's a job to report unethical action. We don't tell our employees that if there's inappropriate behavior around them, they're supposed to act on that.
We don't tell our employees that?
Too often we fail to do that. And we also create barriers, particularly when it's somebody in authority. So to what extent does your organization make it clear that if your boss is doing something inappropriate, you're supposed to report to an even higher part of the organization? There are lots of things that we can do to make it clear that we want a more ethical organization, and we can provide the steps to make it safer for employees to act when they see unethical action going on around them.
That's Max Bazerman, a business ethicist at Harvard. But Mindy, let me take this to you. You're a licensed psychologist. You know, I was reading some incredible stories in which they would take a group of people, they would specifically instruct them or ask them about, you know, would you report a sexist comment? Would you raise a fuss if someone made a comment like that around you? More than half of the people said they would. And then the researchers arranged for that very thing to happen, and something like only 15% of them actually said something. So what is the click that's not occurring in people's brain? What was that moment where people have a choice? Do I say something? Do I not say something? What happens there?
You know, it's interesting because, of course, we want to think of ourselves as doing something. But when you ask a question like that in research, our good intellectual coping mechanisms click in, and we think, of course, I would do something. But in the moment of seeing or hearing, when we have to actually take it in, denial is a very powerful force. And I think a lot of us freeze. We freeze emotionally. We freeze in our brains about, did I hear what I thought I heard? Can I do something about this? Should I do something about this? And I think that kind of momentary paralysis affects many people. In fact, Mike McQueary in the Sandusky case said, my brain couldn't take it in. And I think that's really exactly what happens to witnesses of abuse.
And that's something that as Max is saying, that we can only combat by being explicit in asking people to do that?
Not only that, but I think that we have to make sure that those who investigate don't have a negative attitude towards reporters, that they're trained to listen, to believe, to follow up, to look for other corroborating evidence when somebody comes forward, support them in coming forward.
Protect the whistleblowers. That's Mindy Mitnick, a licensed psychologist with decades of experience working with kind of cases, and Max Bazerman is business ethicist at Harvard, co-author, along with Ann Tenbrunsel, of Blind Spots, Why We Fail to Do What's Right and What to Do About. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.